This is Tim Mahoney, pastor of the Moss Bluff Pentecostals. I hope you enjoy this audio broadcast from one of our services. Now open your heart and open your mind to the Word of God.
I was like, well, maybe I need to mosey my way into the prayer room. So I did. I spent a couple of hours in the prayer room, but I didn't get very far there either. And I was like, you know, I got to take this outside. So in one of the only spots of this week where it wasn't raining, I found myself sitting in the bleachers at the baseball field behind Sam Houston High School. And it was there that I experienced the burden of the Lord more strongly than I've probably ever experienced it in my life. And I feel, and I'm going to preach the sermon that I've prepared, and I wasn't even going to dive into any of this, but sitting in those bleachers, I feel like God told me, and I'm very careful about using the term God said or God told me. I felt impressed many times, but for me to say God told me something, I'm very careful with that. But I sincerely feel that God told me that He desires for our church to be the connection point between Him and this community. And the mental image that God gave me was two pieces of PVC pipe and one connector in the middle. And if those pieces of PVC pipe were labeled, one would say God, one would say Moss Bluff, and the little piece in the middle would say Moss Bluff Pentecostals. God desires to send His Spirit like a mighty ocean rushing into this community. He simply needs someone to connect the two. And this is, and I don't have an answer for this question, but I'm asking you to pray with me that God would give us wisdom and insight that can only come from heaven on how to make that happen. Because God, I believe, is a God of new things. Amen. He never changes, but yet He said, behold, I make all things new. Behold, I am doing a new thing. I don't know how God wants to connect, but I know that we're the piece that is going to connect. So if you don't mind dedicating yourself to a time of prayer every day with me, just asking God, hey, how are we going to do this? Because we want your way. We don't want our way. If there's something you want us to do that we've never seen before, show us. If there's something you want us to cut out, show us. Because we want to do this your way. Because we want the revival in our city that we believe that you're going to give us. Can we just give the Lord a hand clap for showing us that He still has a purpose for us? He has a purpose for this church. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You know, I desire for this church to be able to make the lives of the people who live in this community better. I want people to be able to make better decisions in their marriage, better decisions in their jobs and finances. I want them to be better people relationally and even spiritually.
to have a better prayer life than they have, a better spiritual walk with God than they currently have. So, this morning, I'm going to ask the question, how can I live a better life? In light of my past experiences, my current circumstances, and my future hopes and dreams, how can I live a better life? There is one question, I believe, that answers this complex question. There is one question that has the potential to make your life better. It doesn't matter where you're currently at in your life. It doesn't matter your age or the status that you obtained. There is one question that can make your life better. This question has the potential to foolproof your relationships, your marriage, your finances, your calendar, the pace that you live, and even your health. Amen. This question can reduce the complexity of your life. This question can save you time, energy, money, and tears. If you ask this question, you would carry around less regret. If you were to go back in your mind and think about the greatest regret, whether it be a season, a night, a weekend, and apply the question to your life, what might change? And best of all, you would not nearly have to apologize for as much stuff if the question that I'm going to reveal to you was simply asked. But before I get to this question, I would like for you to turn your Bibles to the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, verses 15 through 17. In this letter called Ephesians, Paul is instructing the Christians on how to live. He's asking the people to embrace a different life. They live in a culture that does not embrace the lifestyle that he is writing about. And this type of living, this type of humility and honesty. And then he backs up in his writing and he gives us a baby step. If you begin to look at every opportunity, every decision, every initiative through this one simple question, your life will immediately become better. Ephesians 5:15 says, "See then that you walk circumspectly." In other words, live carefully. Live your life carefully. Not as fools, but as wise. Not as fools, but as wise. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Be careful. Be wise. I want you to make good of your time. I want you to learn how to redeem the time. Because the days... what he's saying is you live in a time that if you lift up your feet and you go with the current culture of the world, it will take you into places that you have no desire or intention to be. Relationally, you will look back and you'll say, "How did I get here?" Financially, you'll look back and you'll scratch your head and say, "How did I get in this financial dilemma?" And Paul is saying, "Hey, you can't be careless. You're living in a day where you must be careful. You can't go with the flow because it will take you to places that you have no desire or intentions on being." Ephesians 5 and 17 says, "Therefore, do not be unwise, but do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is." But focus on that word. Understand what the will of the Lord is. This is a huge contrast because it sets up the question that's going to make your life better. Don't be foolish. Don't be stupid. Don't pretend like you didn't understand what you do know. Or literally, I want you to face up, own up to the fact. Paul's saying, you know, what he's really saying is, you know what you ought to do.
That's right.
You know that one thing leads to another. You know what the right thing to do is. You know the right way to act and behave. He said, come on, face up to it. Face up to what God wants you to do. Because you know how God wants you to handle that relationship.
Amen.
You know how God wants you to handle those finances. You know how God wants you to handle yourself professionally.
Amen.
You know. So stop talking yourself into things that you know you shouldn't do. And stop talking yourself yourself out of things that you know you should do. Because you know. Now here's the central theme of what Paul is saying. In verse 15 it says, see then that you walk circumspectly. Not as fools, but as wise.
Yes. Yes.
Of everything that Paul says, the litmus test for every single situation and nearly every single question that life throws at you, the question that answers nearly every single other question in life, is not what is everybody else doing, is not what is society doing, is not what is my family doing. The question that will make your life better is this: what is the wise thing to do? The question that makes life better is, what is the wise thing to do? Not right, what's the right thing to do? Not wrong, what's the wrong thing to do? But what is the wise thing to do? If I were to ask you to think about your worst decision in your past, you would more than likely ask yourself, how did I get into that? And say, I don't know exactly why I did that. I'll tell you exactly how you got into that, and I'll tell you exactly why you did that. You made a series of unwise decisions that led you to a decision that was absolutely wrong. The decisions that you made were not wrong, they were not illegal, but they were unwise for you. And the reason why it's so easy is because we started with one unwise decision. And whenever you make one unwise decision, it sets you on a path to make another unwise decision. And then all of a sudden, you're making another unwise decision. And all of it began because way back here, you made one simple unwise decision. They weren't bad decisions. They weren't wrong decisions. They were just unwise. And a series of unwise decisions will take you down a path that you never intended to be. Unwise, 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 massive disaster. So Paul said, okay, look, let's wise up. Let's face up to what God is wanting us to do. So in every opportunity, ask the question, what is the wise thing to do? So let's look at three dimensions of our lives. The first one is, in light of my past experiences, what is the wise thing to do? No, I want you to repeat that with me. In light of my past experiences, what is the wise thing to do? What happened last time you went out with them? What happened last time that person called and you called them back? What happened last time you spent the night there? What happened last time you decided to go or not go? What happened last time you said yes when you should have said no? What happened last time you snuck out? What happened last time you maxed out your credit card? What happened last time? In light of your specific past history, Do you know why history keeps repeating itself in many people's finances and in their relationships? It's because they don't ask the question, what is the wise thing to do? You think that you can do the same thing over and over and over and over again and expect different results? Insanity. We believe we are so smart and so intelligent that we can control the outcomes in our lives. I know the last time the outcome wasn't that great, but this time it's going to be different. Yeah, you're doing the same thing, you're going to get the same thing. Paul says, come on, don't lie to yourself. Not what the right thing to do is, there's a better question, and the better question is, what is the wise thing to do? In light of not your neighbor, not your family members, not your mom, not your dad, in light of your past experiences, what is the wise thing to do? See, we hate that, don't we? Because you know why we hate the question? Because whenever we ask that question, it's not fuzzy anymore. It's not hazy anymore, and the clouds have drawn back, and we know exactly what to do. We know exactly where we should go. We know exactly what phone calls not to take. We know exactly what to buy and what to leave on the shelf. We know exactly what a good idea is, and we know exactly what a bad idea is. If you want history to stop repeating itself relationally and financially or in your life, you need to ask yourself the question, what is the wise thing to do? The second dimension of our lives that we have to look at is in light of my current circumstances, what is the wise thing to do? See, you may have just gotten married, and in light of the fact that you just got married, what is the wise thing to do? You know, I remember whenever I got married, there were things that I couldn't do anymore. There was people I couldn't hang out with anymore. You know, you don't go and hang out with your friends anymore, because in light of your current circumstances, you have to ask what's the wise thing to do. It's not bad, it's not wrong, it's not illegal, but considering your current circumstances. You know, with students, it's a brand new semester. I've seen so many of them do so bad, and then all of a sudden, they know that they have to crank it in the next semester, and you know, well, there's a trip coming up, but there's finals right after the trip. Well, is it smart to go on that trip or study for your finals? There's nothing wrong with the trip. There's nothing wrong with the spring break trip. But in light of your current circumstance, what is the wise thing to do? You just started a job, just had a baby, second or third, whatever. Nothing right or wrong about what you were doing before that current circumstance happened. But now, in light of that, how will you respond? You see, we've always done it this way. This is what we do. This is our tradition. But in light of our current situation, what is the wise thing to do? You mean that I'm going to have to change something? Well, every year, the same way, the same thing we do. We do the same thing all the time. That's what we do. Yes, I know. But in light of where we are right now, see, this question causes us to face reality.
Yes, it does.
It causes us to actually stop and say, you know what, where are we at right now? What does it look like right now? Not what I want it to look like, but what it actually looks like. What does my current life situation and circumstance look like really? This question forces us to look at reality.
Yes, it does.
Not our perceived reality, not what we wish reality was, but look at reality. What's the wise thing to do? If you want to end up somewhere better, you have to be able to ask yourself that uncomfortable question. The third dimension of our lives is in light of my future hopes and dreams, what is the wise thing to do? You know, it's always a bad idea to trade in your future for something you know will not be in your future. This component alone has the power to change the trajectory of your entire life. It's a bad idea. You know, some people hang with people who have no hopes and dreams. They live from event to event, from paycheck to paycheck, week to week, and they have a way just to suck the life out of you. In light of your future hopes and dreams, what's the wise thing to do about that relationship? But you have hopes and dreams for your future. And you have a vision for your life. And you have desires that you would like to see happen in your family. The worst thing you can do is for people to rob your future because they are consumed in the now. The people who make the biggest impact on lives are ones that are constantly looking into the future rather than looking into and making decisions based on the now. There have been many crazy decisions that I have made that people have looked at me and said, "You're crazy for making that decision." Well, I was looking at my future hopes and dreams.
Sure.
And I was making wise decisions based upon that. And I was trying to position myself. I was looking at my current reality. And because I understood that, I could position myself for hopes and dreams.
Amen.
And make the wise decision. If you want to end up somewhere professionally better than where you are today, it determines what you do today. If you want to secure your financial future for your family, you have to ask the question, what is the wise thing to do? Personal vision is a catalyst for wise decisions. If you have a personal vision, it will be a catalyst for wise decisions. Hanging on the wall of the closet in Ashley and I's bedroom is a chart. It's one of those charts that like you can fill in until it explodes at the top. And that is our financial chart. It's actually a Dave Ramsey financial peace chart. And we have on there marked our financial goals. And so every time I go to the closet, I look at our financial goals. And that chart reminds me that we have a destination. And so whenever I go through my day and I think about my finances, I have to ask myself, in light of where we desire to go, is this a wise decision? In light of what we are trying to accomplish, is this a wise decision for us? Is this wise for my family? There have been many invitations to do things that we've turned down because it was unwise for us. There's been many things that we would have liked to had, and we actually had the finance to have. But at the end of the day, is this a wise decision for us? In light of your future hopes and dreams, what is the wise thing for you to do? So let's put all this together. In light of my past experiences, in light of my current circumstances, and my future hopes and dreams, what is the wise thing for me to do? You know, I've never met anyone who plans on ruining their life. I've never met anyone who plans on going into their first marriage anticipating their second. I've never met anyone who desires to go into financial debt. People never plan to ruin their lives. They just plan not to. The way to live a better life, the way to plan not to ruin your life, is simply asking that question in light of my past experiences, my current situations, and my future hopes and dreams, what is the wise thing to do?
what is the wise thing to do. If you want to foolproof your marriage and your relationships and your finances, if you want to reduce the complexity of your life, if you want to save time, money, tears, if you want to carry around less regret, and best of all, if you don't want to have to apologize for as much stuff that comes out of your mouth, ask the question, what's the wise thing to do? And I have said, what's the wise thing to do so much in this sermon that hopefully it is ingrained in your brain. You know what? If you're in the room this morning and you have a desire to live a better life, better professionally, financially, relationally, or spiritually, James, the brother of Jesus, tells us where to begin. He says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. So maybe we just need to wake up in the morning and say, okay, God, I want you to show me what wisdom looks like. The wise man said, buy the truth and sell it not. Also, wisdom, instruction, and understanding. It said to buy wisdom. Maybe you need to make a personal investment into books on how to raise children. Or maybe you need to purchase a DVD series from Focus on the Family on, you know, how to handle discipline or how to handle my marriage. Because that's doing what the wise man said to do, is to buy wisdom. Buy truth, buy understanding, buy wisdom, and buy instruction. So, that is how, according to Scripture, you can live a better life. Don't be as the unwise, but rather know what the will of God is for you. Can we stand this morning? I'm going to pray over you, and then we're going to go into a time of worship at 11. Lord Jesus, we come before you this morning and simply ask that you will give us wisdom. Wisdom in our relationships. Wisdom in our finances. Wisdom in our marriages. Let us be wise professionally and spiritually. Strengthen us, Jesus. We ask that you will bless our lives with wisdom and truth and understanding and instruction. Help us, Jesus. In Jesus' name.